Heavenly Father, we thank you because we know that when we gather together in your name, you are here. And Father, as we explore this verse, as we explore the story of Bethlehem, we will be able to understand a little bit more about you. We will be able to reflect upon questions about you, Lord. So, Father, into your hands we place our time together because we come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Bethlehem. And when we consider this subject, I just divided into two parts. The prophecy and the challenge. Is not working. But anyway, the prophecy and the challenge. Because Bethlehem is a place of hope and challenge. So tonight, as we reflect upon the story, we have the prophecy, the promise, the hope, and we have the fulfillment and the challenge. And when we read in the Bible about Bethlehem, the Bible tells us that Ephrathah was originally designed a clan related to Caleb, which was established in the vicinity of Bethlehem of Judah. So we have that kind of two Bethlehem. So the first one is this one, and we find that in 1 Chronicles 2 and in 1 Samuel 17 and in Ruth. But we have another Bethlehem, which was located in the territory of Zebulun. So we have these two Bethlehems. And now the meaning of that name is that is the fruitful one, rich in grain, oil, wine, and figs, now is going to produce an extraordinary fruit, the Savior, the Messiah. And the prophet Micah points out that this prophecy started hundreds of years before when David received a promise. And David received a promise in the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 7. The king of Israel received the promise from the prophet, says, your house and your kingdom will endure forever. And before me, your throne will be established forever. Nathan reported to David all the words of this entire revelation. So Micah, like other prophets, take all the readers of the scriptures back hundreds of years before to this promise. But the story of Israel tells us that they have terrible kings. They have bad kings. And in the year, they were taken into captivity by the Babylonians in 586 before Christian era. But hope remained in the time of Jesus. They were waiting for that Messiah. They were waiting for that person that will take that role. In our context here, as we read the book of Micah, is that the prophet Micah is dealing with false prophets. The false prophets were saying, yes, we have problems. Some Bible commentator said the Syrians were attacking. Other Bible commentator said that the Babylonians were attacking and they were danger. And this false prophet says to the king, you know what? We need to fight back. We need to attack these people coming because God is with us. God loves us. So he has to look after us. But Micah say, okay, no. We are in trouble. It's not just about attacking. We are going to suffer. And he, in chapter 4, verse 10 to 12, says, riding agony, daughter Zion, like a woman in labor, for now you must leave the city to camp in the open field. You will go to Babylon. There you will be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you out of the hand of your enemies. But now many nations are gathered against you. They said, let her be defiled. Let our eyes gloat over Zion. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They don't know his plans. Micah says, it's not about attacking back. Things are going to get worse. He is a kind of gloomy message. But the prophet foresees an exile which will end in rescue and liberation. They will have to dwell in an open country because maybe their houses are going to be destroyed. Their buildings are going to be taken. And we are going to suffer, he says. And there in the middle of suffering, you will have to change. He says, you need to consider your ways. But the false prophet, they say, no, it's okay. Everything is okay. God loves us. God is with us. You know, God is love. But their theology, one Bible scholar says, their theology, the theology of these false prophets, was an easy hope that does not require any personal conversion. And no any change in the unjust social situation. They were having problems. Micah is inviting them to consider their ways. Hey, there is something wrong in our lives. There is something wrong in our society. We need to change. And then the other prophet says, no, rise and dress, daughter Zion, for I will give you horns of iron. I will give you hoops of bronze, and you will break to pieces many nations. You will devote their ill-gotten grains to the Lord, their wealth to the Lord of all the earth. So this prophet said, no, let's go. This nation will be destroyed completely. On the other hand, Micah see the difference, the future. They will be converted. These nations are going to make them suffering, but these nations will be converted because they will see the justice. They will see the love of God. But Micah said, it's wrong. And he denounced the real condition of the people of Israel. Micah in chapter 3, he says, listen, you leaders of Jacob, you rulers of Israel, should you not embrace justice? You who hate good and love evil, who tear the skin from my people and the flesh from their bones, who eat my people's flesh, strip off their skin and break their bones in pieces, who chop them up like meat for the pan, like the flesh for the pot. Then they will cry out to the Lord, but he will not answer them. We have a problem. Israel is the oppressor of the poor and the weak. Israel was supposed to consider its way because there was injustice in the house of Israel. Because they were not doing the things God has commanded them to do, they hate good and love evil. God will not be with them. That is the message, the gloomy message from Micah. But it seems to me that Micah, perhaps, you know, when people, there is a danger sometimes when people repeat and repeat and repeat a lie, and it lies gradually converts into something true. That is what music guru do. They have the money to put very ordinary music on the radio, on the TV, and people listen and listen and listen. That's a good singer. It's rubbish. Have you realized that? That's what they do. They repeat it and they repeat it, and people go and buy the CD or they download the music. It seems to me that it reflects what is happening here. The false prophets are repeating and repeating, but it's like Micah said, all right. So Micah chapter 5, verse 1, he said, marshal your troops now. It's like, okay, march your troops now, city of troops, for a siege is laid against us. It's like he's joining. But he says, they will strike Israel's ruler on the cheek with a rod. The present king in the time of Micah, Hezekiah, in the time of Sennacherib, the other king, is stricken upon the cheek. I didn't know this, but I was trying to find information about this. But apparently in Chicago, there is a museum, and the Assyrian part, there is a section that they have items from that era, And there is a sign that says, I have shut up Hezekiah like a bird in a cage. In their language, the king boasts that he will destroy Israel. That he will destroy the king. But this text is very difficult. It's a very, very difficult text because the ambiguity that sometimes characterizes prophetic threat and promises. The prophet seems to avoid concrete details. There is no details of the fulfillment, but sometimes we need to be aware that the prophecies, more than chronological predictions, are often timeless affirmations of faith that it will come to pass. And in the prophet Micah, he said, but he comes with the prophecy, our text this evening. But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be the ruler of Israel, whose origins are from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. This is one of the best known prophecies in the Bible. In what Micah is saying, the ruler, the eternal ruler, is not coming from Jerusalem, the capital. It's coming from the little town, Bethlehem. And this prophet will be a ruler. And that particular word ruler means a shepherd. He will not be a ruler who's coming to say what to do, what not to do. Yes, he will be ruling, but he will be looking after his people. He will come as a shepherd. And that is the image that Micah is giving. But this peace that he's coming to give is associated with justice. Israel have to realize their disobedience and change. Without justice and protection of the poor, in Micah's time, there can be only false peace, false hope. And the false prophets, that's what they were giving. This peace is associated with that. In Israel, they have to consider their ways and they need to change. So the prophecy is given, and the prophecy says that there is a call from Micah to say, hey, come on, we have to change. God loves us, but we have to change. It's not that we have to stay like that. There is some issues that you have to look into. That's what he's saying. The people of Israel have to consider their ways and to respond. And what about the fulfillment? This is the prophecy. He just left the prophecy. And what about the challenge? The promise of a new ruler to come from Bethlehem is a very familiar for us. We read it in Christmas. We read it in Matthew chapter 2, verse 6, when the wise men come and they said, we are looking for the Messiah. He's coming from Bethlehem. And we sing carols. And today we were singing officially the first carol. You sing it. That's what Owen was saying. And we sing carols like this one. And I love carols, but sometimes we just sing. I invite you to consider carefully the words. Let me sing it to you. But consider the words. Oh, holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sins, hang and tearing, be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, Lord Emmanuel. We sing that. But what is the relevance of this town? of this new ruler in our society. Is that an old prophecy here? But as I was saying at the beginning, I will suggest that the most important question is this. Shall we read the words in yellow? Why Jesus came into the world? Why this baby born in Bethlehem came? That is the question. I love to see families together having good time. But the question in our minds should be, why Jesus came into the world? The Apostle Paul, in his letters to Timothy, he put it so clearly. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Very simple. He says, of whom I am the worst. I like the way he put it, because he's not saying, you know, I am very good. I am an apostle and I am traveling. I am planting churches here and there. They say, no, I am the worst sinner. And he says, Christ may display his unlimited patience as an example for those who could believe in him and receive eternal life. Christ, the Messiah, came to save sinners. And perhaps as Micah tried to help people to understand, you need to be aware of your situation. But we should be aware of our situation. Where do we stand? And where do we stand when we have these questions in our lives? When we struggle with our faith? When we face every situation of turning points in our life, the battle is in our sides. And then the prophet Micah gave us an example of what went wrong with the people of Israel. Because when they faced a crisis, they did not turn to their king. You know what they did? King Hezekiah said, well, we are going to fight. And then he tried to help, to get help from Egypt. And he tried to put together the troops. And then he tried to negotiate. And he said, I want to do it my way because God is with us. But he did not address his issues. And it will be difficult for us to deal with situations. Maybe you are struggling with something and said, okay, God loved me so much. And because he loved me, everything will be all right. Yeah, he loved you. He loved me. But I have to consider my ways. I have to say, what's going on? I need to change. And there is another way, regardless of the circumstances. Okay, there are things that we don't understand. We may be facing. We can trust in God's sovereign power rather than the work of our hands. Hope is not secure if it's founded in human plans, human leaders, a political party, human effort, human reason. Lasting hope is only found in God, total confidence in God. Micah hopes that those who hear his message, they will consider their ways and change. But you know what they did? They did not consider their ways. Humility is required because it's displayed by the Messiah. Micah announced that the leader shall come forth from Bethlehem. He's not a king who comes to tell you have to do that, that he will be a shepherd. He will come to protect, to save, and the future shepherd will be his flock, guiding and protecting it, taking care of its need. The sheep will dwell secure, and there shall be peace in the land. Nations shall renounce military ventures, and people will dwell secure under the vine and the fig tree. And Micah says, he will stand and shepherd his flock. In the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they will be secure, for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. Peace is associated with justice. We need to be right with God. That's what he is saying to his people. And he's saying, this peace is not only for us, this peace is for everyone. It's not only for Israel, but peace is associated with justice. We are to be right with God. That's what Micah is saying. And this is something that we read in Christmas as well. Isaiah prophesied at the same time, and he says, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire, for unto us a child is born. To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulder, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There is a hope on this prophecy, but the most important is that the prophecy is not only for Israel, it's for all of us. Micah is not talking to us. His first audience is there hundreds of years before. His words were, you know, in the 8th century before Christian era. But our questions are like those. They say, well, what is happening when God is supposed to be with us? Why he's not with us? What is happening? But Micah said, he will be our peace. When something happens in our lives, we try to do it our way. You know that one of the most famous songs when in funerals, you know what is the most famous song in funerals? I Did It My Way. Frank Sinatra. Because we want to do it our way. This is the way I feel that we should do. This is the way I feel I should do. God loves me. Micah is saying to the people, consider your ways and be humble to recognize God wants to rule our lives, want to bring us peace and hope through repentance, because Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's where he came, the first Christmas. But we are rebel. But through repentance and conversion, we become children, citizens of his kingdom. Not because I was born in a Christian family. Not because I come to church every Sunday. Not because I was baptized in a particular church. Not because I do good deeds. Not because I am a minister. Not because I am part of the worship team. Not because I have repented. Because I understood the message of Christmas. Christ came into the world to save sinners. I don't know you, but maybe, like many people, you are searching. You are a student, perhaps, or you have been coming to church for years. Let me finish reading a poem called If You Look For Me at Christmas. Because if we are looking, we are going to find it. And I invite you to just for a moment to think that Jesus is speaking to you. Just listen. This poem is called If You Look For Me at Christmas. If you look for me at Christmas, you won't need a special star. I'm no longer just in Bethlehem. I am right there where you are. You may not be aware of me amid the celebrations. You will have to look beyond the stores and all the decorations. But if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you will find I am waiting there for you. You are the one I want to be with. You are the reason that I came, and you find me in the stillness as I am whispering your name. Love, Jesus. I am no longer just in Bethlehem. I am right there where you are. Are you looking truly for Jesus this Christmas? We are going to have that. The story of Bethlehem is the most wonderful story because it's God coming to be like us. He understands when you cry. He understands when you are struggling. He understands. Maybe you are hungry. Maybe you are sad. He does not stop being God. But he was 100% man, 100% God. Why Jesus came into the world? He came to save sinners. And perhaps if you read carefully, there is in the Bible, in 2 Kings chapter 18, 20 to 25, King Sennacherib sent an envoy to Hezekiah and said, I'm going to win this. God is not with you. What is it that you trust in God? He mocked Israel. Maybe the world will mock you. The world will say, you are believing children's tales. Often the world mocks God. What will be your answer? The Bible tells us that King Hezekiah, later he listened to Prophet Isaiah, and he's able to win the battle. It seems to me that he considered his wife and he surrendered to God. If you look for me at Christmas, says Jesus, you will have to look beyond the stores. If you look for me at Christmas, you will have to look beyond the offers and all the decorations. If you look for me at Christmas, it's a place of hope, but it's a place of challenge because we need to consider our ways. And but if you look for me at Christmas, says Jesus, if you take a moment from your list of things to do and listen to your heart, you will find I am waiting there for you. Are you looking for Jesus? I invite you to spend a moment before we finish thinking, I need to address a few things in my life. Or perhaps I didn't notice that I have been disobedient. Perhaps I try to avoid be confronted by personal issues that seems not to be there, but they are there. But I prayed, if you look for me at Christmas, said Jesus, you will find me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this old prophecy. Thank you for Micah, that he prophesied in a difficult time of Israel. People wanted to hear the answers from you, but they did not consider their ways. Thank you for the story of King Hezekiah, that later he was able to consider his ways. And he was humble, and he was able to enjoy your blessings. Father, I pray for us, hundreds of years later, perhaps we don't even speak the language that they spoke, but Father, we pray that if we are looking, truly looking for you this Christmas, we will be able to find you. Help us to consider our ways and help us to be humble, to repent and be closer to you, to do your will in our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.